we have a real treat to start off with. Recently, I hosted a private dinner with America's foremost authority on leadership, John Maxwell, for an exclusive group of executives and business owners in the $116 billion direct sales industry. This is a rare opportunity to have a high-level leadership discussion in an intimate setting, tapping the brain of Mr. John Maxwell. Here you get a chance to listen in to an excerpt of that discussion.
We have a very exciting privilege. We're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about what's going to allow us to forge ahead and take that leap forward, you know, outcompete the competition within this very robust industry and really offer things of hope and aspiration and promise to our distributor force and talk about leadership. We couldn't have a better treat than have the foremost authority on leadership. And it's because of the special relationship that Stuart Johnson has with John Maxwell and now Success Magazine has with John Maxwell that that we could sort of offer this up to you and have this discussion. So please help me welcome to the stage Mr. John Maxwell. So I prepared some questions, and I want your thoughtful answers on this. And it's great. The first question you talked about in today, define reality. Like, let's start with reality.
Correct.
So that's what I want to do. And we're amongst leaders here, and so we could talk frankly. You know, 2008 and 2009 have been two incredibly challenging years for business. And many, if not most, have faltered or have gone down. And, you know, I think the greatest challenge facing leadership today, especially direct sales companies, is what's called a lack of confidence.
Correct.
So how do leaders reinstill a belief within their internal organizations as well as their outside organization that they truly are leading the company in the right direction? How do you reinstill confidence in today's age?
You can only give what you have to give. In other words, you can't give something that you don't have. I mean, you can try, just that fake it till you make it kind of stuff. But you really can only give what you have. So, Darren, the first thought we have to immediately say is, you cannot instill confidence in others if you do not have confidence in yourself. I mean, it's just impossible. It might be a little hypey, but it certainly won't last. Four things, quickly. They all start with the letter P, okay? The first one is perspective. You've got to have perspective of what's happening. We lose confidence when we lose perspective. When all of a sudden we began to think we're the only ones that have ever experienced this, or we've never had a time like this, or wow, nobody's ever gone through this. So leaders, Darren, see more than others see, and they see before others see. That's a fact. And so when I see a person who doesn't have perspective, one of the first things I understand is they're not a leader. Because a leader, while everyone else is panicked and saying, my goodness, what are we going to do? The leader is seen more, broader. He's seen before. I mean, while everybody else is saying, what happened? That leader's already anticipated some of that. So perspective is absolutely huge in confidence. When a person loses perspective, they almost always lose confidence. The second P is preparation. I was over at Jack Nicklaus's house one day, and we were having a long conversation about confidence. And I was talking to him about, you know, his ability in the big games to do so well in the great tournaments. And he came in 19 times. He came in second place in major tournaments. And I said, Jack, you know, was there any time that you should have won that you didn't? He said, yeah, two out of the 19, he probably should have won. The rest of them, he got beat on. But one thing we were talking about was that crucial putt. And he said, John, when I'm over that putt, and it's I mean, this is win or lose, he says, I have all the confidence in the world, I'll make it. Because he said, I have prepared and putted. He said, I've done tens of thousands. And then he said, preparation breeds confidence. The issue is a lot of times when during these difficult times, it's for us to pull away from preparations. We go away from excellence. And then we wonder why things are getting a little bit shoddy at the side. A positive attitude is the third P. Just the mindset, and I don't think I need to go into that. All you folks could probably all write the book on positive attitude. The fourth P, though, is principles. Times change, but the principles that you have lived by, the values that you hold, those don't change. It's just the fact that they get fleshed out a little bit more during difficult times. And I think the greatest mistake that we ever make as leaders is to somehow panic and begin to lose the values that we had or the principles, the sound principles, the ones that we know will deliver, the ones that we know will bring success in our life. And so hopefully those four things, Darren, will help people in the area of having confidence, because we all know that without confidence, people won't take the risk they need to take. They won't step out like they need to take to bring home the return you need for your business.
Sort of leads me into my next question here as well, which I think is one of the most pervasive problems I see going on in boardrooms. And with Success Magazine, we're in advertising discussion with a lot of major brands and blue chip companies all the time. And the thing that baffles me is indecision. People are paralyzed. There's so much fear and worry that I think security instincts have kind of come over a lot of the executives. And so they think it's safer to do nothing than it is to do anything. And in my opinion, that is what's going to have the most massive consequences of these organizations 6, 12, and 18 months from now, is indecision. And the funny thing about it is that it's no longer to be the economy to blame. It's going to be leadership.
Of course.
When it comes down to it, it's going to ultimately end up being leadership and the lack of making decisions right now. That's why I say the next 10 or 20 years of your companies are being defined right now, because it's the decisions that you make, or it's the decisions that you don't make right now, that are going to define the future of the organization. So, John, what advice do you have for leaders today about looking in the mirror and making the necessary decisions to invest, market, and lead in these times?
Well, Darren, you're right about the fact that the natural tendency when tough times come is for people to freeze. I just sold it a few months ago, but I had a company that raised money for churches across America. It was the largest company, and we raised, I think, $4 billion for congregations, so we were really good at it. And when 9/11 hit, Darren, we averaged a contract a day. When 9/11 hit, from 9/11 to the end of the year, we never signed one contract. It's a classic example of what happens when tough times come. Everybody, you know, they just say freeze. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any decisions. We're just going to hold tight. You know, this too shall pass. That whole process, and so that's the natural issue. Now, every year I spend Wednesday noon to Friday noon with about 80 executives, and it's just a phenomenal time. We do leadership experiences, and I just hang with them, and it's my favorite thing I do all year. And so we were here a week after the election, presidential election, and so I did about an hour and a half discourse on leadership, not politics, leadership, just the leadership of all the players, and why Hillary lost her momentum because of entitlement, and I just taught leadership. It has nothing to do with politics, has everything to do with leadership. One of the people at the exchange said, well, I would sure hate to be president now. You know, I mean, with all the stuff going on. And I looked at him and I said, oh my God, I'd love to be president right now. Honest to God, I've never wanted to go into politics, but I would have signed up. Oh, I would love to be president now. Because this is just a phenomenal time. If you look at all the great leaders that distinguish themselves in history are the leaders that led during difficult times. I'm here to tell you, for some of you in this room with good leadership, good decision making, this is going to be your finest hour. Now, it won't be the finest hour on your growth chart. In fact, your company may have been doing this, and maybe over the next couple of years it's kind of doing this, and everybody say, boy, you must have done some lousy leading. No, I want to tell you something. Your best leading may be right now. When I was in San Diego, I had a very large church, and we bought 80 acres out on the freeway, and we had to go through zoning. I mean, you know, just it took us 11 years and $18 million to finally get it all done. I mean, you just can't. Black-tailed gnat catchers. But I want to tell you something. During that very, very difficult time of where a couple of years, we would have people stand because we had places for them. And I mean, it was just horrendous. It was awful. In fact, my favorite saying to the congregation is, I wouldn't go to this church if I wasn't the pastor. Good Lord, I wouldn't even go here, you know. So as I look back during that time of waiting and couldn't do anything, we were paralyzed, where we flattened out for about 2 or 3 years. I mean, our growth mainly was like that. But when we flattened out there for a couple, my finest leadership was then. Because I had the ability to hold people together, and I had the ability for people not to leave the congregation. I raised, before we got the land zone, I raised $20 million. And we didn't even have the land zone. In fact, I'd have to tell them, we don't have the land zone. We may not really get this land, but I need your money, you know, to fight the black-tailed gnatcatcher and a few other things. So I think you cannot judge your leadership and your decision-making based upon always on growth. Here's what I've always said. The acid test of a leader is the ability to take something that's going the wrong way, stop it, turn it around, and take it the right way. That's the acid test of a leader. All great leaders can do that. And that's, so what's going to happen now, Darren? What's going to happen now? The great leaders are going to make good decisions, and they're going to get out there on the edge, and in 5, 10, 15 years, like you said, from now, they're going to reap a huge reward.
All right, so another thing that I think is one of the most dangerous issues happening right now in organizations is dealing with a loss of trust.
Sure.
A lot of the financial cutbacks, a cut of resources, and people having to be laid off, and some decisions that have been hardcore to make, and then the cultural upset and so forth, that, you know, people have lost trust inside, I think, organizations, and I think even most especially the always nervous field.
Yeah.
So with this issue of trust, which is a big issue of leadership, I remember you made a presentation at the VPU session that we had, and you said every person is silently asking themselves the question, can I trust you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the question then is, how, especially given the turbulent situations that some of these internal organizations have had to do in order to position themselves for growth, how do they reinstill trust? What behaviors, what communications, what programs can they do to prove, demonstrate trust and instill it back in the organizations?
In fact, Darren, when you talked about that question, can I trust you, I have a lecture basically entitled The Three Questions Followers Ask. Now, they're not sophisticated to know they ask these questions, but when I give you these questions, you'll understand immediately that's the questions they ask. Of leaders, Darren.
Right.
And the first question is, do you care for me? Do you care for me? Because if people are going to lay it on the line and work hard and do all that process, they want to know that you care for them. They don't want to, they, you know, you're not going to get 100% effort out of somebody that they know that you don't care for them. The second question is, can you help me? I mean, who's going to follow a leader that can't help them? I mean, why are you in line? Why are you doing all this if the person up there can't help you? And so that's the responsibility of a leader, is to help them, especially during these difficult times. And the third question is, can I trust you? Those are the three questions that I think followers ask more than any others. Now, the issue here is trust. And by the way, trust is like change in your pocket. When you're in an organization, you get X amount of change. You follow me in your pocket. I'm not talking about salary, but you get change in your pocket. And when you do things that are trustworthy, you fill your pocket with change, just as when you do things that are not trustworthy, you lose that change. And what I've seen many, many times is a person who made decisions that were untrustworthy, but he relied on the change in their pocket to kind of bail them out one more time. And then one day you reach in your pocket and you're out of change. You know, and it's over. And they'll say, well, I did something much worse 6 months ago than I did right now. But what they don't understand how trust works. It isn't the biggest thing sometimes that you did wrong that messes you up. It's the last one, especially after a chain of untrustworthy events. So, very simple. One of the things I've always taught my people is that during difficult times such as this, I will always be honest with you. I will never, ever not be honest. When I mean honesty, it's just very simple. I'm going to tell you where we are. I'm going to tell you what our problems are. I'm going to tell you what we're going to have to do about it. That's number one. Number two, I will always ask for your input. If we're in this together, I need every person mentally on board. None of us is as smart as all of us. And some of my best thinking has been done by others. So what I have realized is, in this situation, is bring them on board mentally. Let them become a part of the process of that. The third thing that I always have told them is this. I will cut my salary first. I will be the first person to sacrifice. I will be the first person to give up. I will give up things. I'm not going to ask you to give first. Leaders always go first. You know, we don't want to go first a lot of times, you know. And when your people see that, when their people see that you're going to be honest with them, when they see that you're going to sacrifice first, when they see you're going to ask for their input, and then I tell them, I say, you know what, we're going to have to lay off X amount of people. I mean, it's just going to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see you individually, and I'm going to explain to you what the situation is, and I'm going to give you a referral letter. So that you know when you left in good standing. You had nothing to do with your performance, had nothing to do with the fact that you're a bad person, had everything to do with the fact that we just can't keep this many people on staff. And I think when they begin to see, Darren, that kind of an attitude and kind of a spirit, You know, they really open up. One other thing concerning trust, and that is, as a leader, always admit your mistakes with your people. I was speaking to 100 CEOs for Johnson & Johnson a couple years ago. They have what they call a President's Day, where they bring on all the people that they work with. And I was spending a day with them. I shared with these guys, I said, you need to go back to your company and get your people together and let them know your weaknesses. And oh man, I'm telling you, there was resistance in that room. These, you could feel it. I mean, they just were just wanting to kill me. And I could tell it, and I just smiled the whole process. And during the break, I signed him some book, and one of these presidents was right beside me. And one of his old days, I got to talk to you, put me over in the corner and said, John, he said, it bothers me when you say share your weaknesses with the people. He said, and he gave me this kind of 5-minute, you know, MacArthur, got to see him tough, you know, buck up, you know, the whole deal. And so I let him kind of run out of gas there. And then I said, my friend, you're working under a wrong assumption. He said, what do you mean wrong assumption? I said, you think your people don't know your weaknesses. They already know your weaknesses. I'm just wanting you to discuss it with them so that they'll know that you know.
Yeah.
Whew, thank God he knows.
Success Audio Series, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.